that happens, that flows, that seems to me another ingredient other than the mind.
Yeah, it's a bad system.
It's as if when the mind is bound up in knots of confusion by asking the question over and over again, who am I, who's asking the question, what is asking the question, which, what is where, what mind, what self, who, at that point, it's just so worn out. There's no escape. There's nowhere to go. At that point, something else seems to happen.
When there is no escape, what do you do?
Breathe in.
Turn to pause.
Inspire.
Give up.
Surrender.
Give up.
Who surrenders to whom? What? No.
You change or understand or experience differently.
You are you. It's as if this was happening, this understanding and the understanding and the understanding and the understanding, and finally it's going like this. And
right,
happens.
Right. Go on, go on, go on. Very
and
good.
It's so fast, and then there's.
So fast, and then.
There's no difference.
Anymore. I know. Right. Then. That's it.
And then it's.
That's it. But it does not happen most of the time. You wish to escape. That's what you said a few minutes ago.
The mind wishes to escape.
Escape.
Yeah.
And escape into something or other. And the mind's effort to escape from this encounter, it is, that created all this confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Where is what? Nothing.
No, I understand that, but I...
I understand that is already an escape.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I understand that is already an escape.
Uh-huh.
Because you're still holding on to a concept.
The mind creates a concept in order to pat itself on the back that, oh, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what you said this morning. A good answer then just creates a new question and
right, correct.
From somewhere else. Just
bang.
Bang, yeah.
Bang. And that is that used to be the method adopted in the ancient Upanishad dialogue or encounter, and which is taken over by Zen now, partly. That is, using words to understand the meaning of other words is like water drinking water. It's an unending process.
Yeah. It's the same as anybody trying to explain. Oh, I mean, explain, understand.
Right. It means nothing. It leads us nowhere. So somewhere a terribly inconvenient question has to be asked. Unforeseen, unexpected, surprising, and inconvenient question has to be asked. It is at that point one needs extraordinary energy to sustain that. It is probably here that some of the great cautions and so on, you know, that you find in the textbooks become somewhat relevant. It is a shattering thing. I was holding on to all this as something precious, glorious. It's gone. I can lose my head. Yeah?
And then you're caught again.
I am caught again, number one. Or? Rubbish. I'm going to God, that God will pull me up, another escape. One escape is madness, another escape is this. Or give up the whole thing as utter nonsense. These people are wasting their time. Let's go and have a nice time. This is another escape, sensuous. Sensuous escape. Or suddenly the brain jumps into it and provides an intellectual answer again. Either saying that the whole thing doesn't exist, or even to say that this is something transcendental mystery. He used to be called Terence and his sister was called Mystery. Some kind of something like somewhere to escape in from this deadly encounter, and to remain there without blinking, without shaking, without wanting to escape, and without collapsing, without going mad, without sleeping. One needs tremendous energy. That is why they prescribed all this renunciation, continence, celibacy, estates, etc. All of them merely intended to build up such a tremendous energy, and also Hatha Yoga practices and so on. That you have almost insurmountable energy. If you have that energy, it's like that. It is boom, it's gone.
You mentioned in your book the idea of I. That it is the emotional ascent that helps give us the energy. We're talking about whole life is yoga when the real integration exists, when we have that knowledge of self. So it is the emotional ascent that provides the energy for whatever we do, the work. And because you gave example of the Swami in the ashram, who was told logically and he could accept all that the guru proposed intellectually, and that mind thought it was very logical and worthwhile and valuable, but his heart wasn't in it.
He used to say, I understand it, my mind says yes, but my heart says no.
That's an interesting point. How does one generate that heart emotion if isn't that an aspect of self?
Isn't it?
I mean, it's a selfish act.
Which one, sir? Which one is selfish?
Love of God.
There's no love of God here. I mean, we are not talking theology here. We are talking in pure elementary terms. What is the self and what is the mind? When I inquire into that, who is it that is talking? When I inquire into that, we don't bring in any God or any such thing. God may be there, may not be there.
Talking about an emotional motivation.
That, yeah, not emotional motivation, emotional assent or participation in it. That the question must, the inquiry must not only be on the intellectual level. If it is purely on the intellectual level, then the intellect keeps answering, paraphrasing its own questions and answers. And then that's it. And you get bored and you walk away. But then the whole total being, not only the intellect, but the emotion and therefore the gut level, comes into this inquiry. I must find it now. Huh? And that's the passion.
Okay, how does one create burning desire?
Okay, one doesn't create burning desire, set fire to it. How does one, I don't think we can create burning desire. It must come into being by observing life. When I observe life and its vanities, when I observe the stupidity of what we call selfish living, that's the fire. That promotes the fire. In a candle, the fuel is in the wax. In other words, the fire is in the wax, isn't it? That's what makes it burn till tomorrow morning. But it needs something else, a matchstick from somewhere else to kindle the fire, light the candle. So the burning aspiration or yearning for liberation is there within you. But there is something which needs to kindle it. And that is what life brings, the experiences that life brings. When those experiences are received in the proper spirit, that sets fire to the whole thing. I don't want this, I want liberation. I want liberation. Again, once again, there is a desire.
I want, right?
I want, but this time I want liberation. Till now, I've used the words, I want this, I want that, I want to be wealthy, I want to have a nice life, I want to have a wife and children and that sort of thing. So that it was expanding more and more and more. But now I want to be free of all that. All this, and I want to be free of self.
But isn't that the highest goal?
Right? No, right. Now this, let's not classify it. Here is a formula again, which uses the same "I want." I want to be free. And this acts like a fire, which reduces all the rest of the garbage. I want to be free. I want to be free of that. I want to be free of this. I want to be free of this. I want to be free of the body idea. I want to be free of the notions and the ideas that I have been entertaining. I want to be free of the feeling that I am a Hindu, I am a Brahmin, I am a Swami. I want to be free even of the idea I am a living being. I want to be free of the idea that I have anything to do with this body or mind, the ideas that it contains. There is nothing else for the fire to burn. Fire goes out. The I want looks around, there is nothing more. I want. Gone.
Is that the moment of enlightenment? Or?
Moment is a concept of thought.
Is there a moment? Let's put it that way.
Possibly yes. I mean, since the mind is caught up.
Or can it be a gradual evolution, or is it always a...
Like
in Buddhist or Zen thought, it's always a...
I think it's quite simple,
sir.
I think it's quite simple. One can, I think, use both expressions. You have heard people say, this man has been dying. He lay dying for the past 1 year. He wasn't dead till he was dead. And he died, the other fellow said, died suddenly. He lay dying for the past 1 year. That's what she says. Because he was sick. He was sick. He didn't lie dying. But that's the expression used. He lay dying for the past 1 year. And the other chap died suddenly. Both of them died suddenly. It's just an expression. Till that moment of enlightenment, if such a thing exists, I was a fool. Not 90% fool, but maybe 3% fool. Still a fool.
Shanti, shanti, shanti.